Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. Welcome to a World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I am actually in my office today. I'm not traveling, but we have a visitor that has traveled from a distant land, not so distant, but from another country that is with us today. And I'm so grateful that I get to not only interview Juan and have conversations with his wife, Miriam, but they actually joined us for our team meeting this morning. We had delicious Mexican food together, and now I get to sit down. Hopefully we can be awake after eating food and we won't fall asleep during this interview, but have a great conversation just about the church in the DR and hear about the work that's happening there. So Juan Santos, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation today.
Thank you for having me here. We are so happy to be able to interact with you guys.
And what's great is you actually know, you know more about radio than I do because you've actually been running a radio station in the Dominican Republic that has programs all over Latin America. And in Spain and other places as well, but all over Latin America for a number of years now. So this is not new to you.
No, it is not. I really love this type of world.
Yeah. Well, we're so grateful that you're here. We're going to learn a little today. We want to hear from you just about the church in the Dominican Republic, things that are happening, what's going on, and especially how we can be praying for the church in the Dominican Republic. I think that one of the things that's most important for the church in the United States is for us to hear about, learn about, and be challenged by the stories that are happening of things that God's doing around the world. And so we're excited to hear some of that from you. And thanks so much for giving me a half hour of your time before you go to another meeting. It's back-to-back meetings, giving me a half hour for us to share some today. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Andrew. We are so happy to be part of Church of God in the Dominican Republic. And God is moving all around, you know,
absolutely,
even during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's been a great opportunity for the churches to be able to present Jesus in a different way.
Absolutely.
Like in our case, during the pandemic, at the beginning when it was very difficult, we as a family went out with a car and play music in front of the houses.
Wow.
And give them food and, you know, sing songs for them and tell them, this is not the end. God is still here.
Yeah.
You will keep living. Don't worry about it. God will protect you and so forth. So that was a great opportunity for the church to be able to present God in a different way.
Absolutely, because that was such a lonely time.
Yeah.
I felt like as that started and everyone had to stay in their houses and the isolation, that became really difficult for people. So for the church to step out and say, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, you may feel alone right now, but you're not alone.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then they told us how much they really needed.
Yeah.
Like when they saw us in front of their house, they go like, wow, this is God coming to visit us because we need it.
Yeah.
So for us as a church, we see us not only like a service every weekend, but a daily life.
Absolutely. Well, I have also had the pleasure of visiting Pastor Juan in your home and in the Dominican Republic a couple different times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just say for anybody that is looking for a place to go and visit and wants to see one of the most beautiful countries in the world with some of the most beautiful people in the world, the Church of God in the Dominican Republic has one of the most hospitable places I've ever visited. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for welcoming me. And I know you welcome lots of people.
Oh, yeah.
Every year. So before we dive in, can you tell us a little about yourself? Like, where are you from? Are you originally from the Dominican Republic? And give us a little bit about your story of how you became a Christian.
Yeah, I was born in the Dominican Republic in the northern part of the island where have many mountains, very nice place. But when I was like maybe 10, I was asked for my older sister to come to live in Santo Domingo, the capital city.
Yeah.
And
on the opposite side of it, that's in the south, right? The south side, the opposite side of the country.
I could say that even before that, my father used to move all around the country all the time.
Mm.
We spent like 1 year in this this province and the other year in another province. So it was kind of crazy the way he always moved.
Yeah.
And then how I became a Christian, I remember in July 15, 1983, a group of people from the United States was on the street working. When I got home in the evening, they told me there is a group of American working on the street, and say, oh, if they are American, so they speak English. I want to learn English.
Oh, yeah.
So just because I want to learn English, I went to where they were.
Okay.
And when I got there, it happened to be that they were a Church of God group that gathered like a pastor from Brazil, from Puerto Rico, Argentina, Guatemala, Cuba, United States. They made a decision they needed to plant a Church of God in the DR. So they gathered together and did like a week revival for that.
Okay.
So that very first day, Tim Fox invited to me to that meeting, and I came, and he was so kind that he moved my heart. Mm. And he gave me his Bible and said, would you come to this meeting? Yes. And I came. But even I attend that first meeting, I did not make my decision in that meeting. But on the same street, like maybe 60 feet away from that place, I was walking on the street like midnight.
Okay.
And then these thoughts came to me like, why am I not a Christian?
Hmm.
I like the way they are.
Yeah.
I like the Christian life. Why am I not a complete Christian? So in that very moment, I said, Lord, I want to give you my heart. Hmm. I want you to become my father, and I will be your son forever.
Wow.
So ever since being in Church of God. Then next day, I went to the next meeting, and I said, well, last night I gave my heart to the Lord. What's next? Because I didn't have any idea what I can do. So Tim Fox helped me to just be in the church day by day, and many years went by.
That's awesome. And I know Dr. Fox. I know him as Dr. Fox, not as Tim Fox. I feel like anyone that used to be my professor, I have to call them, you know, Dr. Fox. But he was a professor at AU, still is a professor at AU in Spanish, and a wonderful, wonderful man. And so that's neat how that story is connected.
Yeah.
But that was actually the start of the Church of God. You were saying that's actually how the Church of God started, is those groups of countries all came together to start it in 1983.
See.
Wow. And so since then, so what happened after that? So after they started a church, or they did a revival, did it immediately kind of get going, or what happened in the next few years?
Yeah, they were expecting a pastor from El Salvador
okay.
to be the pastor in the DR, but he could not get his visa to work in the DR. So they have to change something there. And then they offered Gerardo Tarón. He was from Argentina. He was in that first group.
Yeah.
And he accepted the call to be the pastor in the DR, and he's been there for ever since.
Wow. He's still there.
Yeah, he came to the DR in 84.
Okay.
1984. Still there.
Wow. And now he's married, so his wife was still back in Argentina.
Yep.
And so how did that conversation go? I mean, did he just say, yeah, I'm gonna do it, or did he have to
at the hotel, and they were just having fun, and said, well, the first one who speak in the first meeting will be maybe the pastor for this church here in the country. And they just were playing around.
Yeah.
And then they said, Gerardo, would you like to? And it happened to be that Gerardo was the first speaker.
He should have been careful.
And they asked, they asked him, would you like to be the pastor here? And say, well, if I go back to Argentina and I ask Olga, my wife, if she would like to come, and if she say yes, then I will come.
Okay.
So then the week went by, and he went back to Argentina. She went to pick him up at the bus station.
Uh-huh.
On the bus station, over the car, over the roof of the car, he asked her, honey, would you like to go to the Dominican Republic? And she goes, yes.
Wow. Just like that.
Yeah,
like she
because,
just knew.
And then she explained, because during the days he was in the DR, she had a dream that night, and where God told her about the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And then she got a map, because she had no idea where the Dominican Republic was. So she got a map and looked around and said, oh, this is Dominican Republic, a very small dot in the world.
Yeah.
And then when he came, she was ready. So she said, yes, let's go.
I love that story. You know, that's a kind of sacrifice and a kind of willingness to follow God that I just think is really important, but we don't always see that, you know? And I love that she was just ready to go, even though she didn't even know where it was on a map.
Yeah,
she was ready to go.
And they just got in a new church when that happened in Argentina.
Oh, really?
A very, very good and large church.
Wow.
And having a little boy, like the baby was like 2 months old, something like that, when they moved to the Dominican Republic, was in a hard moment for them.
Yeah.
And they just say yes to the Lord.
And I love that they didn't just say yes for a year or 2 years. They're still there.
They said yes for 2 years.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, but God changed all their plans.
I think that's awesome.
And if you were asked them, are you going back to Argentina? They said, no, this is our country.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So why did you decide to be a pastor? How did that decision come about?
I don't really know. I remember I went to there was a church having a seminar, like a month seminar for people who wanted to be in the ministry and so forth. So for you to get there, you have to fill up a application.
Okay.
In the application, they have different questions. Your name, your church name, and what is your ministry? What do you want to be in the ministry in the future? And I just go, pastor. Just like that. I didn't know. And I felt easy in my heart that I have to be a pastor. And I filled it up. And then I was very committed to the church all the time. They used me for anything they want. I was there all the time.
Yeah.
And my pastor, Gerardo Tarón, he asked me one day, would you like to go to Argentina for the Bible school?
Oh, wow.
And I accepted. And I went to in 1989.
Okay.
Spent almost 4 years. And that's where I met Miriam, who now is my wife.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge step. I mean, I think about if someone in the United States wants to become a pastor and they want to go through some kind of studies, oftentimes they'll go somewhere in the United States. But you actually left your home country and you didn't just go to a neighboring country. You went to the opposite end of the world to go study.
Very far, yeah.
And culturally, I mean, Argentina is very different, right?
Yeah. Even more in those days.
Yeah.
It was very different because they were just coming out of a military government where they have everything closed and very, you know, we didn't know many things of Argentina at the time because of the type of politics they had, you know. It was very difficult in terms of how different it was.
Yeah. And Argentina is very European. When you think about, if you're going to make kind of a distinction, Argentina is much more European. The Dominican's very Caribbean. I mean, those are very different cultures. People look different. I mean, even down there, I mean, a lot of the people are European, so they have fairer skin. I mean, you would have been very much felt like an outsider, I would guess, going down there.
And they knew that when I spoke, and they liked the way I spoke. And when I was speaking with someone else, like on the bus or on the street, they were like paying attention. And I noticed that. So what I did is using that to share the gospel because they liked the way I spoke. So I said, okay, if they like it, let me tell them something about Christ. So I used that as a tool for me to interact with people.
I love that. Do you think that your experience of spending 4 years in another country in a different culture prepared you to be a pastor in the DR? I mean, did it give you skills that you would not have had if you hadn't lived cross? I mean, obviously, it gave you your beautiful wife, Miriam.
Oh,
so that's an important piece. But did it give you other skills that you would say, like, this was really helpful for me to be challenged in this way?
Yeah, mostly the way of being able to interact with different people, different background. Like in our school, we had like 25, I think we were 25 students from like 6 different countries.
Okay.
So being able to interact with people from different nations and cultures, that was a good tool for me.
Yeah.
Because when you are in church, all you know is what you have there. But when you go out and you know people like from Mexico, Canada, United States, Brazil, Paraguay, and so forth, then you see your life from another point of view.
Yes.
Like you see wider.
Yeah.
Your vision is expanded.
I think that's so important. And I think that's something that we miss. I mean, I hear often that pastors, you know, we all should be missionaries, right? In our context, we all should be. But a lot of us don't have those skills because we've never experienced being outside of our home context. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that that's a really unique and beautiful experience to be challenged to think outside of your context. But then when you went back to your home country to take those skills that you learned and that way of recognizing that people think differently than I do, and that helps me to not make assumptions or to, you know, to be able to actually hear their story because I recognize that their story is different. I just think that's really a beautiful thing and a great gift and skill that you would have that you might not have had if you weren't crossing cultures.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would recommend to any pastor to at least go once to another country.
Yeah.
It's, you get so much when you travel.
Absolutely.
It is like you see things that you never saw before. The way you think is different and how you see people is different.
Yeah.
And something else that you see God at work in a different way.
Yeah.
It's like God is not only American or Dominican, God is global.
Yes, absolutely. Well, tell us about the churches in the DR. How many churches are there? Are they in one specific area? Are they across the country? Give us kind of a perspective of
that. We have now like 16 churches
okay.
around the country. Our churches, most of the people in the church are first generation believers.
Wow.
Which is something very special.
That's awesome.
Because, you know, in the United States, you go to churches and most of the people, they are coming from like three, four yep. generation, but this is first generation.
Wow.
Like in my case, in Medium was first generation believers. Yeah. And now we are experiencing that in our churches there, most of the people. And something unique is the amount of youth in
okay.
our churches.
I was going to ask, what's the average age? You would say there's more youth in your churches
oh, yeah.
than there are?
That's it is awesome. Like from 18 to 30.
Is the primary age
yeah.
group. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
It
that is
yeah.
incredible. And when churches start there, you know, one of the things that I experienced is that you're very much a sending church where you send mm-hmm. people out to start church plants. And oftentimes they'll even start like in their garage, right? I mean,
uh-huh.
it starts very small,
yeah.
but creating these kind of cell groups that then grow into churches. Has that kind of been one of the ways that the church has engaged in kind of church planting or church multiplication across the
yes,
island?
That, I would say that's the most common way we do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what does a normal week look like for the church in the DR? Do you guys meet on Sundays, on Wednesdays? What is, if someone listening has never been to the DR and they were to come and visit you on a Sunday, what would they expect? What would a Sunday morning be like at your church?
Well, during the pandemic is something different.
Sure.
But normally,
yes.
let's say we are not
pre-pandemic.
Yeah, pre-pandemic, yeah. For example, in our church, we used to have our services on Sunday evening before
okay.
the pandemic. But because of the pandemic, we have to go in the mornings,
okay.
which is something not very common for most churches there. Most of the churches, they have their services in the morning. But we did in the evening, and they always ask, why you have it in the evening? Well,
yeah.
we try in the morning, never worked. But now because of the pandemic, we have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But our services are more like a celebration.
It's, okay.
it's a joyful time. Normally, for most churches, it is never less than 2 hours.
Okay.
Like before the pandemic, in our churches were like 3 to 4 hours service.
Wow.
And they still want more.
Yeah, you really celebrate.
Oh, yeah, they want more. And when we finish, they say, can we sing one more song? Yeah.
So lots of singing,
yeah.
dancing is that
dancing,
part of it?
Dancing, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Singing and dancing. And then people like to have like conversations before or after church. You know, they will stay there and have conversation, spend time together and greet. Dominican people are very, very warm in terms of how they practice their friendship, you know. They like to talk and spend time together. And
yeah, absolutely. That was my experience there, you know. The church services were fun. They were exciting and very joyful. And yeah, I really enjoyed those experiences. And great preaching, powerful preaching. I felt like a lot of the preaching was very practical,
mm-hmm.
helping people, because again, you have first generation Christians, helping
yeah.
people really think about their life.
Yeah.
And what does it mean to be a Christian? It's really, really walking with people in through their journey of life
yeah,
and helping them think through that.
It's not that much like theology stuff. We do too, you know,
yeah.
but like you said, we have to be aware of what type of people we have. Sometimes you are not to go like say, well, the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
you have to go, the Bible says here and here.
Yeah.
And this chapter, you know, have to wait on the people to go over the Bible and get the chapter and so forth, because not many people are, you know, like traditionally educated in terms of Christianity.
Yeah. So what are some challenges that the church in the DR is facing? What are some things that we, some challenges that you're dealing with, that things that we can be in prayer for as we kind of think about the church there?
Well, one thing, it is the forces from abroad trying to force that the country will accept same-sex marriage and abortion. We are not for abortion or same-sex marriage. And we are one of the least countries in the world that still want to continue to be off abortion and stuff, that kind of thing. So there are some forces from outside trying to force that into the country. But the churches, we are praying and do what we can to make it clear that we don't want to go that road.
Yeah, yeah. What are some joys that you're experiencing in the church? What are some things that you're excited about that the church is doing?
We are having new people coming to church. Like, in general, the whole country, we can tell the church is being a great influence to the culture.
Yeah.
We have politicians, very high-ranking politicians coming to the Lord.
Wow.
And celebrities from TV, radio, or artists.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very interesting how, like in a TV show, not a Christian TV show, they will start by praying, or they will end up by saying like, God bless you, or, you know, things like that. Or they were invite Christian singers to sing in their show, even they are not a Christian show, you know?
Wow.
So things like that are happening all over the country.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the things you talked about early on, I made a comment that you have a radio program.
Mm-hmm.
Connected to that, you said that your radio program is actually on secular radio stations. So,
well, the CVH program
is
one of the stations is not a Christian station. It is a very secular station where they play like crazy and I would say ugly music.
Okay.
And then that's where God opened up a door for us to broadcast.
That's so cool. And so then in the midst of that, there's this 30-minute program that talks about...
yeah.
That's so interesting.
It is like an OAC in the...
That's right. A couple more questions. Tell me about the radio program that you're doing. One, where could people find that if they wanted to look it up online? Where could they find it? And then what is your dream behind that? What's the vision for what you're doing through the radio program?
Well, we do CVH Spanish program.
Yeah, which is a Christian Broadcasting Hope, which is something that's connected to Church of God Ministries and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So we do that. And also we have a radio station, online radio station, one in English and one in Spanish. The one in English is Trust Radio.
Trust Radio.
Yeah, and the one in Spanish is Confía Radio.
Okay.
You can go to Google and you will find it.
Okay.
And then I do a daily live radio show in the most popular Christian station in the country.
Wow.
It is for business people and entrepreneurs.
Okay.
We give them tools how to start something or how to be stronger in what they do. You know, every day we give them advices and different options how they can grow and start something.
That's awesome. And it sounds like your radio programs are doing very well. You were talking about kind of the number of people that are engaging in that.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about, like, what are some of the, how many people do you have engaging with some of those radio programs?
Like, in Ford Confía Radio, we had this past week, like, 11 listeners. 11,000 listeners.
11,000 listeners. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Last month, we end up by 30,000+ listeners.
That's incredible.
And we have not done any promotion yet. Just
word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but we have not yet go to that. We want to do that.
Yeah.
And for Hermandad Cristiana, or CVH in Spanish, we have a Facebook page.
Okay.
You go on Facebook, Hermandad Cristiana. We have thousands of listeners all over Latin America and the United States. And lots of people interacting with us all the time. It's a great, great tool.
That's awesome. And social media has been one of the places that you've been able to really engage people. And it's one of the things that Medium does is interacts with people on social media.
Yeah.
Can you give us any stories connected to that that would let us know kind of what kind of people you're, what kind of conversations you're having via social media?
Well, this lady from South Argentina, she connected to us and she said, well, you know, I'm going through a very tough time in my life. Could you pray for me? So we prayed for her and then she said, will you lead me to the Lord? And wow. So we have a prayer with her and we led her to the Lord. And then she just kept in conversation with us, like, what should I do now? Do you know a church that I can visit and so forth? So we led her to a church. And then we asked her, how are you doing now? She said, well, you know, you are like angels in my life because I was going to a very difficult time. And now I see like God is with me and I'm going to a church. She said, I didn't go to church for many years. So now I'm going like every week to church. And we want to thank you for helping me through this process.
It's incredible that, you know, through a radio program, through social media, that you can reach people all over Latin America.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you told stories today about people in Nicaragua and other places that you have, that your reach can be so much broader than just the community you're a part of because of social media.
Yeah, we are interacting like about 55,000 people.
Wow.
Like this, we have often people from Venezuela. They were say, I need you to pray for me. We pray with them and then they accepted to Christ and we help with some other pastors that we know in Venezuela. We'll ask them, could you recommend me a church in this specific city?
Yeah.
They will say, yes, you can go to this church and so forth. So we'll tell them and then we ask, are you going to church? Yes, we went yesterday and so forth. So they are so happy that they can get a good church to go to.
And you're able to stay connected to them and walk with them. That's just so cool. And even in places where, you know, Venezuela would be a place that would not be easy for people to get into necessarily, you know, but you guys can still have an influence on people in those communities, you know, from where you are.
This is like an online church.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where people can come in and ask questions, like if you were with them, like people will just show up and say, can you talk to me about God?
Yeah.
Or how can I become a Christian?
Yeah.
How can I, can you explain me about the Bible? Things like that.
And people with serious, I mean, you talked about talking with people dealing with suicidal thoughts.
Oh, yeah, many cases like that.
And especially during the pandemic, I would assume that's been a reality for lots of people who have struggled with that isolation.
Yeah, many people asking questions about how can I deal with this situation? I've been thinking of committing suicide and can you help me? And then we see how they react, say, thank you. I didn't thought of that. And now I feel like God is with me. And many cases with marriages problems, like marriages kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
So we follow them and help them to react and change their mind.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, here's one more question. This is a question we try to ask every podcast. We often forget. So the name of our podcast is A World of Good. And so one of the questions we love to ask is, what good is God doing in your world? So is there one more story you can share of the good God is doing in your world?
Oh, yes. I can tell you a story of this lady. She asked prayer for, she was sick. She got a tumor. And she said, would you pray for me? I have to go through surgery. And we prayed. And then she replied and said, thank you for praying. I went to the doctor to have the pre-test before the, you know, the surgery. And they found out that the tumor is not anymore.
Oh, wow.
So.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. Thank you for praying.
Wow.
So we can tell you days and days of stories. We have like more than 20 people every day that we, different people that we connect with through this program.
I just think that is such a beautiful thing that, you know, often we can get so discouraged by the pandemic, by the feeling like, you know, everything got shut down and there's no way for us to move forward. And I love hearing these stories where, you know, you're doing this radio program from your house.
Yeah.
You're interacting with people on social media and you're able to really be a part of people's lives in very real ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that when we really believe that God is working in the world, then we're willing to find ways, creative ways to be a part of that work. And I think the pandemic has forced us to be creative. And I love hearing these stories of the ways that you've been able to creatively connect and support and love on and encourage people during this time.
You want one more?
Yeah, please.
My son, Hernan, he works for the government. When he first got in, then he worked at the presidential palace. And the first lady was walking on the hall, and Hernan and her just interact. And she was speaking with Hernan, and she told him, you know, I feel ashamed, like we have not presented this government to the Lord yet.
Wow.
And Hernan goes, yes, that's very interesting. And she goes, what can we do? How can we do something like that?
Yeah.
And Hernan gave her some advices. Oh, well, you can do this, invite this pastor and this priest or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can do a program like this. And she goes, yes, I like that. Tell me more. And then Hernan took her to his office. And then Hernan Voss, who is his pastor, they finalized all the details for this service. And in front of the palace, they have a public service.
Wow.
Presenting the government to the Lord.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? I love, first of all, I love your son, Hernan. What a wonderful, so hi, Hernan, if you ever listen to this. Hello, greetings. But I love that God used him in that moment. You know, it talks about in scripture that we have to be ready, you know, when that moment comes. And I don't know that if the first lady had talked to me, I'm not sure I would have had the you know, frame of mind to be able to say that. I love that. That he said, yeah, this is how we do it. That is a beautiful story.
You know why he is alert? Because whenever he picked up his career, he knew he needed to present the gospel in places that church cannot go.
Absolutely.
So he knew that from the beginning. And he knows where he is. He's looking for opportunity to present God in every ways.
It's so easy for us to separate, like, this is my job and this is my faith, instead recognizing that all of those things permeate. Like when we're on the job, not that we have to always be, you know, sharing the gospel, but how do we live out the gospel? And we're prepared when God sends those people in our midst and gives us those conversations. Are we prepared to have that conversation? Yeah, yeah. I think that's wonderful. Well, Juan, Miriam, thank you so much for being with us today, for this opportunity to talk, to hear. We'll be praying for you, for the churches in the DR, but really for the people that you're touching across Latin America through social media, through the radio, and really walking with people through difficult times and encouraging them to find the hope of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. And I want to tell to your audience, there is something that you have not done yet.
Okay.
That it's needed to be done in the next few days. So be alert what God has for you.
Yes.
And just do whatever comes to your hands. Like, God is preparing something special for you. You have to be aware of it.
Absolutely.
So be prepared for that.
Well, I will be excited to hear what happens with people as they are alert for those days and how God works through that. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.